Okay, we'll be in Philemon or pie lemon or a lemon pie, whatever you want to say. Okay, Philemon. Do you, anybody know what that means? It means friendly or one who kisses. Remember the Greek word? Do you remember the Greek word phileo? Philemon? Philemon? Very close in it, right? Phileo means close friend, you know. When you say you phileo someone. Okay, we can get past that. Well, Paul wrote this to Philemon, and he says, in the first verse, I'll read it first, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by you, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin you that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a brother, a prisoner in Jesus Christ, I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to you unprofitable, but now profitable to you and to me, whom I have sent again. You therefore receive him, that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained. Okay, off. Okay, I retained off with me. What does that word say there, Lois? Where it says, verse 13, whom I would have what retained? It's retained. I see it now. I can see it. It's retained. I made a mark there. It messed the word up. I couldn't see it. Whom I would have retained, verse 13, with me, that in your stead he might have ministered to me in the bonds of the gospel. But without my mind I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he has wronged you or owes you aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand, and I will repay. Albeit I do not say to you how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I wrote to you knowing that you will also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given to you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. Okay, let's go back to the first verse and see what we've got to glean out of here. Paul's writing to Philemon, and he says, this is Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's stating something. He's saying, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, do you think he feels like he's locked up in bars and chains?
No.
He's locked in a love feast with God. He is a love slave with God. He is a prisoner because he's locked in, because he loves him so much he cannot do anything outside of what he wants, what God wants in his life. And that's the relationship that we are to have with God. Not that we have to go to church on Sunday mornings or Wednesday mornings or Thursday afternoons or whatever. It's because you have a love for your humanity and for what God wants you to do. And if you love someone so much, what will you do? Anything that they want, see? That's the kind of love that he's talking about here. But he says, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dearly beloved, and the word dearly in there, he just should say our beloved, and fellow laborer. And to our beloved in there, the word beloved is not correct. It's mistranslated. It should say our sister, Apphia, and Archippus, and his name means, Apphia means fruitful, and Archippus means the master of the horse. What's that really mean? If it's in symbolism, what's it mean? Master of the horse. He's an overcomer. He's dominated the beast's nature. Okay? Our fellow soldier and to the church in your house. He's talking about the fellowship in their natural home. Grace to you, and we know grace means the divine influence in your heart and a reflection into your lifestyle, correct? He's saying, we want to see that great, that divine influence in your heart and that reflection into your, in your lifestyle to you. And peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, the grace of God and the peace of God in your life. Those are things that should be evident in the life of a person who's truly following after God. Now, early on in your walk, it's not going to be as so as it is later on in life. As you mature, things will be much more at peace. But it's a process, but still, the grace of God in your life and the peace of God should be evident in your life. If things are going the way God wants them, there's going to be one way or the other, isn't there? And he says, I thank my God, making mention, verse 4, of you always in my prayers. The word proskuno there for prayers can be translated prayers or worship. And when we say the word prayer, it has a stigma with it, okay? It means you got to be on your knees, your head bowed, your hands clasped, your eyes closed. But see, worship to me is much deeper than the word prayer. In worship, it's a lifestyle. So it's not just get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for this, and thank you for the food we eat at dinner time, and at night say, Lord, thank you for a good bed to lay down. It's not all about that stuff. But in worship, and the true worship is imitation, so in my lifestyle is what I hear Paul saying. In my lifestyle, I'm showing the thankfulness. Not words coming out of my mouth necessarily. They might be there also. But this is about my lifestyle showing the thanks to God through the way I live my life. And verse 5, he goes on to say, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. See, not just toward Jesus, because most people say, oh, I love Jesus, but I can't put up the rest of you heathens. And that's the way the church world lives. I love you because you go to my Baptist church, but I don't like the Methodists because they ain't Baptists. That's the way that the church world works. It's not everybody, but it's only if you look like me, dress like me, and talk like me, then I'll like you. The diversity is our strength, and the church world has separated us in all these divisions and denominations and says that's our strength. No, it's not. The diversity is where our strength is. Okay, verse 6. That the communication of your faith, cross out the word may, because it shouldn't be there, and the next word become is not correct. It should be. You can cross out the come off the end of it, just C-O-M-E off the end of it. That your faith be what? Active or operative. Effectual, it says in King James, but the Greek language says active or operative, by not thee, but by acknowledging of all good. The word thing at the end there shouldn't be there, which is in you in Christ. Okay, now look, let's take it back and look at this again. I'm going to read it the correct way and listen to the difference of the change in it, what it should say by the language. That the communication of your faith be active or operative by acknowledging all good which is in you in Christ. Hello. Doesn't that make much more sense? I'll read it again. That the communication of your faith be active or operative by acknowledging of every or all good which is in Christ. And it's in you in Christ. By me acknowledging the good that's within me in Christ is how everything is done. It operates and affects everything to work when I acknowledge that everything is in me in Christ. See, it's not just in me, it's in me in Christ. Christ is in me, and that's where it's at. He's not in my flesh, he's in my spirit. On into verse 7, he says, because, not for, but because we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the bowels of the saints, and the word bowels is not correct. If you go look at it in the language, it talks about the hearts or the minds of the saints are refreshed by you. When they say my heart is refreshed or my bowels are refreshed, it's talking about my mind. All you have to do is look at the language and it'll tell you that. Okay? It's the thought process has changed. And isn't that called repentance? It's changing the way you think. By someone loving you, it changes you. Verse 8, wherefore, cross out the word though, that's an added word. Wherefore, I might be, the word might be is incorrect, it's the Greek word echo. It means, wherefore I, therefore, or wherefore I possess much boldness. That's what it should say. Wherefore I possess much boldness. In Christ, see, where's my boldness? It's in Christ. Where's Christ? In me. So I possess the boldness in Christ in me. To enjoin or to order you to do what is proper, not what is convenient. When I tell you do whatever's convenient, does that say proper to you? The word should be convenient, should be proper in the language. In the Greek language, it's proper. Okay, starting off verse 9, the first word isn't there. Yet, shouldn't be there. It should start out and say, for love's sake, I rather encourage, not beseech. I encourage you, for love's sake, I encourage you. Cross out the word being, it should be. Be such a one as Paul, the old man. Paul's saying, be like the old man Paul. I've grown up, I've matured, I've aged, right? And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I have changed and I have become this prisoner of Jesus Christ because I'm a voluntary prisoner. I want to be with him, okay? And he says, I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. That's why he's telling Philemon. He's matured. He's grown up. He said, I want you to be just like me. I want you to grow up, not to look like Paul, talk like Paul, act like Paul, but to mature in the way God has brought you to be, but I want you to grow up and be that same prisoner of Christ, that same love slave of Christ, okay? In verse 10, he says, I beseech, but the word beseech isn't there. It should say, I address you concerning my son, Onesimus. Onesimus. Do you know what that means? Onesimus means bringing profit. Now, does that name ring a bell to you, Onesimus? Onesiphorus. It's in 2 Timothy 1:16 and in 2 Timothy 4:19. But in 1:16, he talked about Onesiphorus being the one that came to him when he was in prison. Do you remember that? In 2 Timothy 1:16? And he said, and look what he says right here and tells you. I address you concerning my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul was in prison and he came to him when he said everyone else had forsaken him and went away from him, but Onesiphorus. And a lot of times in the scriptures or in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, the names will kind of change a little bit. They will translate them a little differently, but it's the same person. And there he says it, the one I begot in my bonds. And if you go back to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1:16 or 4:19, you'll find the name Onesiphorus is the one he's talking about here. So just because you are bound by God doesn't mean that you're not profitable, doesn't mean that you're not fruitful. When God had Paul in prison in 2 Timothy, coming near the end of his life, he brought to birth another man. He birthed another to the kingdom, didn't he? This man right here, Onesiphorus. Correct? See, so we think that the bad things that happen to us are not fruitful. But many times the bad things that we experience in life is what brings someone else to the kingdom. Because somebody's watching you all the time, right? And especially if you're walking the correct life, there's people watching you from a distance. They may not have the courage to walk up and say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing, or you're different from everybody else, but I see God in your life. They may not have the nerve to say those things, but they're watching you. And when you go through these terrible experiences in life, you know, we have divorces in our life, we have deaths come in our life, we have terrible car crashes, plane wrecks, houses burning down, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, all these terrible things. How do you react in these situations? Right? Losing your job. How do you react in these situations? They're watching you. If you give the opinion that you are just like everyone else in the world, do you think they're going to take you serious? But when you can stand as a lone person and stand on the foundation of God in your life and say, well, the house burned, you know, that's what we paid insurance for. Someone stole your vehicle, so that's what I got insurance for. And obviously, God needed it to get it to that other person for some reason. I don't know all the reasons, and I'll choose to look at it that God needed to get it over there, and that was his way of getting it there. It's none of my business. And I have insurance covered anyway, so what am I going to lose sleep about? Right? And go on with it. And let God deal with it. I don't have to deal with those things. And when you do, guess what? Peace is going to be in your life, I guarantee you. Verse 11, which in time past was to you unprofitable or useless. He's saying this stuff in the past was useless. Okay, and especially Onesiphorus. Or Onesimus, same one. But now he is useful, not profitable, but useful to you and to me. He said, this man before, you saw him as being useless, but now I see him useful to me and you both. Whom I have sent again, you also, not therefore, but also receive him. This is my own what? It should be heart or my own mind. This is my mind. I'm telling you, I want you to receive him as mine, as my own. Whatever he's going to say to you, he's going to have the same heart that I have. He's going to have the same thinking process. He's going to tell you the same truths that I would tell you. Paul has a lot of faith in this man. He's got all the confidence in the world that this man's going to tell you straight up. He said, you take him just like I'm sitting here telling it to you. A lot of confidence. He knows him, see? He knows him. Verse 13, he says, whom I desired to retain with me, that is, that in thy stead, he, cross out the word might have, that in your stead, he ministered to me, not unto, but to me, in the bonds of the gospel. Okay? Read it again. Whom I desired to retain with me, that in your stead, or in your place, he ministered to me in the bonds of the gospel, or the good news. He said, he did great to me. He ministered to me when I was bound in your place, probably because they weren't there. But without your mind, I desire to do nothing. He said, I want to hear what you got to think about it. See, so this concept in the church world about one person controlling everything, does that work? See, Paul said, I'm not wanting to do anything without understanding what you have a desire in your heart for. And see, that's why in our fellowship, I encourage, even if there's a bunch of us here or a few of us, it makes no difference, we all need to express ourselves so we can understand each other. If you come into this fellowship and you sit here and you never express yourself, do you really feel part of the building? Of the group? See, if you can't express yourself, how could you feel part of it? If I couldn't express myself, I wouldn't be here. That's the truth. And if I can't get you to express yourself, I'm not doing my job. See, to encourage you to grow is to encourage you to express yourself. Not just to keep it within yourself, but to encourage you to express yourself. And where is the safest place to express yourself? Amongst family. You encourage your children to express themselves and grow, but yet, in our spiritual family, we don't want it to express ourselves. It don't fit the pattern, does it? We got to have the expression. Church world's afraid of it because they can't control it and choreograph it right down to the second. And we had some people from up north that was in a church, and they came here and they told us they were on TV. It was a pretty big church, and they said they got it down to, you got 1 minute and 7 seconds to do this. 3 minutes and 14 seconds to do something else. You know, just down to the very second, and they cut them off. You know, someone, the producer is producing his program. I thought God was doing this thing. You know, how you put a time limit of so many seconds on God, you know, which God isn't even bound by time in your time. You've got 3 seconds to do something. I mean, come on. Cause of cost. See, it's all about their cost. Cost should have nothing to do with it. But without your desire, your mind, you know, to do nothing, I will do nothing. Without your mind and the desire to, I desire to do nothing, that your what? Your benefit, the word benefit should be the good and honorable nature, not be as it were of necessity. So he's saying that I don't want to do anything and not hear what you got to say in you. I want to be able to determine that what you do is of a willing nature, okay, not out of necessity. You know how many people in church today are doing all kinds of good, like the guy, Lisa, you talked about, come out and told you, you know, that you need to get saved and everything. He's doing it from a nature of necessity. He has to do it for God to accept him. If he doesn't go out and tell people, then God, he's not doing his job, he doesn't think, see? But if he would live the lifestyle and just love humanity and wait for the Spirit of God to open things up, he could accomplish more in one day than he could in a whole lifetime of do-doing for God. And God don't need to do-do. He's got all the fertilizer he needs. He don't need any more. Okay? Yeah, from what's within your heart. It's as a nature. See, that good and honorable nature is what that word benefit means. So that good and honorable benefit, and cross out the word should right there because it shouldn't be there anyway, that your good and honorable nature not be as of necessity but willingly. It should be out of the nature of my heart that I do what I do. I don't help people and do what I do because I think God wants me to. I do it because that's who I am. Does that make sense to you? That's the way you're supposed to live your life, because that's who you are. Hence the words we've said for many years, be who you be. Just be who you be. And if you want to be a dog on the hillside chasing rabbits, then go out there and bark at them. I don't care. You do whatever you want to do. It's not my call. I didn't set this thing up. I'm saying be what God's... Because if you're meant to bark at rabbits running around the side of a hill and you're in here, you're in the wrong place. There ain't no rabbits in here, are there? If you need to be at Joe's Bar and Grill, go on. That's where you need to be, if that's where your heart is. Okay, verse 15. Because perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that you, cross out the word shouldest, that's an added one too. He departed for a season that you receive him into the ages, or forever, King James says, but into the ages. See, the should was maybe you will and maybe you won't. But he's saying he did it, he departed for a season that you would receive him. See, a definite, that's why he did it. Not now as a servant or a slave, but above a slave, a brother beloved, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as me. Receive him just the same as me. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. That goes like the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Found him bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. Remember in Luke 10? And what did the Good Samaritan say? He took him to the motel or hotel or whatever, put him in there and said, take care of him. Here's some money. If that ain't enough, if there's anything else to do, put it on my account. I'll pay it when I return. See, there's the nature of Christ. You take care of it. I'll take care of it. Whatever it takes. See, no limitation on God, is there? Just take care of it. Unconditional love means unconditional everything, doesn't it? And he says in verse 19, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Now, this albeit, what's that really mean? What it really means is, so I do not say to you, the word so I do not say to you how you owe to me, even yourself. See, he's saying, I'm going to take care of this bill. If this guy owes you something, I'm going to pay it for him. Even though you owe me something, I'm not going to say nothing about that. I'm just going to pay the bill. Even though I could say, well, we're even now because you owe me. but I'm not going to. I'm going to pay the bill because I love this brother, and whatever his bill is, I'll take care of it. Okay? He says, yes, brother, let me have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh my heart or my mind in the Lord. And that word Lord is incorrect. It says, refresh my mind in Christ. It's the word Christos, 5547 in the Strong's Dictionary. It's not Lord, it's Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I wrote to you, knowing that you also do more than I say. See, there's the conflict. We said a while ago he had great confidence in the man. Here he comes back and says, having confidence in your obedience, I wrote to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But at the same time, the word withal should be at the same time. But at the same time, prepare me also a place to entertain. It says lodging, but a place to entertain. Because I trust that through your prayers I shall be given to you. 23rd verse says, the first word there shouldn't be there. It just says, salute Epaphras. Epaphras. Say it any, whichever way. I don't know which way is right, but Epaphras. Epi, okay? Salute Epi. Epi, that word Epaphras means lovely. My fellow prisoner in Christ. Marcus, which means the defense. Aristarchus, which means the best ruler. And Demas, which means governor of the people. And Lucas, which is the light-giving one. Same as Luke, the light giver. My fellow laborers, the grace of the Lord, not our Lord, but the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of you, your spirit. Be in the midst of your spirit. Amen. Where else would the grace of the Lord be? But in the midst of you, huh? But Paul ends all his writings with that grace. So, we started a new book today and we finished it. Small writing. Next week we're moving on to Peter, right after James, past Hebrews, go right past where we was at, to Hebrews was the next book, then go to James and then to Peter. We'll start in 1 Peter next week, Lord willing, whenever we get together, whatever happens and everything. But we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay, anybody got any questions or comments or rocks to throw or...